Hey, you. Yes, you guessed 10,542. Change your username. And while you're in a More Like Radio live page listening to fine quality programming, notice the banner ad just slightly above the chat room? It's a link to something you want in Amazon. Click it. It's probably reminding you to order something you need from Amazon.com. Don't leave MLR and type the URL like a sucker. Just click the link and it'll open in a new window. This way you can buy your shit and continue listening to the show. Now, change your username. It's right there on the right, stupid.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio. The Nerd Hour.
Tattoos and touchdowns.
The Sunny Show.
You're listening to the shoot.
Trust us, we're hot.
Masters of none.
360 on 420.
Welcome to the Cut Print Film Podcast.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
It's Daytime Divas with Marianne and Kitty.
OSW Review.
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Alcohol by volume.
This is Unsigned with J5.
It's time for Dutch and Royce.
No! Welcome to Rage Quit Radio.
Get ready for Hippo Juice.
Time for the Rage.
Mark Radio.
The Elvis and Albert Show.
The Cousin Joe Show.
Radio Meltdown.
It's High Society Radio.
Brainstorm Radio.
It's all about me with Halls and Rorschach.
Shy kids.
Daddy Wampus.
Orange Room.
Warlife Radio!
Hey, listeners. Yes, that means you. Miss your favorite More Like Radio shows live? No problem. Just go to morelikeradio.com/downloads. That's morelikeradio.com/downloads. More Like Radio's RSS feed works with your iThings, Zooms, Androids, Windows Phone, and anything else that can subscribe to an RSS feed. If you're so awesome that you only get your podcasts from iTunes, you can subscribe to our feed in iTunes by clicking the Subscribe to iTunes link right on the Downloads page. So what are you waiting for? Download More Like Radio podcasts and subscribe to our feed now. Yes, right now. Do it.
Obviously, I was... never mind, I'm not going to explain it, but...
No, explain radio to Ashley.
Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin. Would you mind taking Colin for a walk about 8?
Just 2,000 hours. Oh, yeah.
Now here's your host. That's Ashley, and this is...
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to a brand new episode of Antisocial Gamer Radio, live on morelikeradio.com. It's going to be a good show this week, a very sexy show. As in England, we're in the middle of a heat wave. I am wearing nothing but my undies and a t-shirt. Yes. That's probably scared away all the listeners now. But no, it's boiling over here, and literally I've had a shower before the show, and it's still warm, and it's 9 o'clock at night, and it's still fucking hot. What the hell's going on in this country? I don't understand. But yeah, I've got a whole bunch of stuff to talk to you lot about tonight, this evening. But first I'll get into the usual stuff. As you know, as you should know, in about 2 weeks, roughly, a couple of weekends away, we have the second MLR Live event. I might just say that all in one go this week. August 9th, Just Jake's, 30 Park Street, Montclair, New Jersey, from 1 till 4. We're having basically a benefit for Otto Peterson's memory. It's going to be a really good afternoon. I can't wait. I'm in anxiety. I'm sort of like, you know, chest is hurting. I'm like, yeah, it's going to be good. Will it be bad? Probably won't. But, I'm worried. As you know me, I worry about every damn thing. But yeah, so we've got comics turning up. We've got Mike Falcone, Conti and Kenny, Dave Satsik, Dandy Marino. There'll be a raffle, auctions. Cover band is BPM, Beats Per Minute. But yeah, so it's free admission. Normally, it's not costing you anything to get in. But we do ask that you donate. I say if you're not going to the event and you do want to donate, go to tinyurl.com/autodonation and you can leave a donation there. I think the max total was $5,000. So basically, donate as much as you can, really, because it does help Otto's family. None of it goes to us. You know, it's not paying for my flight or anything else like that. It's all going to Otto's family. You know, it's a good cause. I mean, fuck, we wouldn't do anything unless it was a good cause. So make sure you donate. It's going to be a really good evening. Good afternoon, it was going to be. But yeah, don't forget also, auction away this mug, facebook.com/mershmug. Go on that, like that. It's this mug that's going around. I don't know too much, but I've just seen it pop up. But yeah, this mug going around that we're going to be auctioning off as well. But yeah, it's going to be a really fun afternoon, and I can't wait. I mean, it's only a couple of weeks away. So much is going to happen. It really is. Yeah, what I've been playing. I've been playing a few things this week. Some stuff I'll get into. I've been playing a bit of Bar Oasis. I'm trying to get back into that. I haven't played too much. I've gone through basically a whole couple of days of in the game and sort of met most of the characters. So I'm sort of, I think, quarter of the way through it because it's not exactly a super long game, but because a lot of the time from the story is taken out from just making drinks in the game, so I'm sort of doing that. And, you know, that'll be something to sort of whiz through quickly, just sort of, you know, press buttons, make the drinks and stuff. That takes most of the time. But the actual story, meeting the characters, is mostly done. It's just how they involve. And basically the choices I make through the first one, it's either I choose to be with Desiree or with Chilo. And Desiree is the choice you should make because you actually go, you know, pretty much all the way with her. But it is a fun game. It really is. I'm sort of enjoying it. Bebop in the chat is saying about the MLL over. It won't be past your bedtime with a time difference. Of course not. No, I'll be there. Well, I mean, it wasn't past my bedtime last time. But I mean, I was awake for like 24 hours or something like 25 hours. I was like, I'll wait for a long time. But yeah, it's going to be really fun. Other stuff I've been playing, as I said last week, I got into Infamous. I finished it. It's really, really good. I say I've, you know, the last couple of bosses were really hard because it was that Augustine woman. People who've played this will know. It's like she was really fucking hard. I mean, the first boss battle you had to fight her was hard because literally it was sort of an arena style fight, and she's what the hell is it? She's sort of there using her concrete powers against you, and then basically it's like wave after wave of sort of soldiers start coming out. So you're trying to sort of what happens is she sort of flies in the air on a sort of concrete bit of rubble, and she's got like rocks and shit flying around her, and basically you keep hitting her with your special attacks. And then basically knock her off, and then you sort of go up to her, and then you kick her, and you get so much benefit points out of it. Like, you know, the stuff that do you, so you can use your super special move, and then basically just do that a couple of times, beat her. But, I mean, it took me a few times because it was really, really hard because she was so tricky trying to sort of... I mean, I've got it set on normal, and I had to set it down to easy because I was having so much trouble with the bloody thing. But, you know, I eventually done it. And it was better when I'd finished it, really. You know, because I was sort of tired of just fighting her, and she was really annoying, you know. But yeah, that was done, and then I had to do something else. And I mean, it's a really good story. I'll go into bits and pieces in a second. But yeah, the final boss battle was Augustine again, and now you had these concrete powers, which you sort of took from her. And you basically sort of like, you know, when you, you know, grab each person, you learn about their personalities, who they are, that sort of stuff. But yeah, you know, got that from her, and then had to use her powers against her, and yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was sort of mostly just dodging and diving because, I mean, the last boss battle, it was, well, it was tricky trying to, you know, because she turned into some sort of giant, concrete spider, and I had to use, like, me sort of concrete rock throwing things against her legs, and it's hard to explain, but it was a really fun boss battle, and I was literally sort of, it was one of those things, it's one of those boss battles that's like, yes, you can, you know, run around the room happy, and, you know, because you'd beaten it and done, and the game was finished. But yeah, I mean, I was really glad to get to finish with the game, but I did think it was really funny, because when the final boss battle, you're getting all these these boxes that give you all your powers, and I was learning all these new moves with concrete power, and I'd got every single spark, I can't remember what the fuck it is, shard, don't begin with an S. Yeah, I got every shard that I needed in the game, and basically I sort of, you know, use all the shard points up to upgrade all the powers, so basically everything that I had was good, and, you know, sort of all the good powers, because I'd done my whole playthrough as the good side. I mean, I do want to do a second playthrough as the bad side, but I mean, that's going to be in a few months once I've sort of let the game go. And I mean, I haven't played it since, because I mean, I went to every area, I found every item. That's a lot of stuff to do in a week, and I'm like, yeah, okay, I've done all that. Let's put it on the back burner, because I'm playing Destiny beta, which I'll talk about in a second. But yeah, I'm having a lot of fun with it, and I'm not going to pick it up now until I actually want to do the evil playthrough, which I'm really looking forward to doing. But yeah, it's a really fun game. I mean, sorry, I'm satisfied with the ending. It was kind of sad. I mean, people who've played this will know what I'm talking about, because I'm not going to spoil it, because even though it's been out for a little while, you know, it's still a really good game, and you should play it. But yeah, I mean, what else is stuff? Yeah, the concrete powers were weird. I mean, it was actually really good and helpful. But as I say, when I got all these shard boxes that learnt me new powers, it's like once I'd finished the game, I'd unlocked everything, I'd found everything, there wasn't really anything to do with it. So I sort of, you know, started running around and messing around. But yeah, I say it's a really good game. I'm glad I got it for the price that I got it for. I mean, it wasn't really worth the full price that, you know, it comes out as. But that's because it's me, and it's hard to explain. It's open world games I go through so quickly these days, and I sort of, you know, either do all the area finding, item catching, stuff like that, or I'll just blitz through the story. And you know, I sort of want to have everything done first, and then I can just settle in with the story. I mean, I sort of did that with Watch Dogs. I'd, you know, go to each area, you know, find all the items, and, you know, just sort of do it that way, to be honest. But yeah, I mean, other stuff that I have been playing, I say the main thing, Destiny. We got the beta came out. I mean, I'm not playing it now because they're on a maintenance break. But yeah, Destiny came out. I was played around with several different things. I've done all three classes: the Titan, the Hunter, and the Warlock. Titan is my favourite. Titans is your basic soldier class, whereas Hunter is your sort of scout, and your Warlock is your sort of mage. To be honest, sort of sci-fi mage. But I mean, I'll talk about them separately. You know, when I did the Alpha, I played as the Hunter, which was a lot of fun. But I mean, the only thing that's, I mean, the Hunter's more a stand back sort of character, like, you know, because this isn't the thing. It's like you get knives and rifles, and I mean, you do sort of the punch, the R1 button, and you know, with the Hunter you get a knife, and then I think with the Warlock you do some sort of special sort of force push or something like that. You sort of let out pulse from your hand, it sort of pushes your enemies away, whereas with the Titan you can just punch someone, which is really great, because there was a bit I was into a really bad firefight, and basically I was like surrounded by enemies all over the place, so I sort of started punching, got crazy. I mean, one of the Vanguard, the captain of the Vanguard, was coming at me, and I sort of took out his shields and then just started pummeling the shit out of him, because my health was dying and I was about to be killed. But yeah, I had a lot of fun with it, and you know, I mean, it's on break now, and we get like I think I think it runs out on 27th, so we get until Sunday. I mean, it comes back on tomorrow because it's been off for like yesterday and today. Comes back on tomorrow and we get through till Sunday. My character is I think it's an Exo or Evo. It's the robot android class. I've sort of modeled him off of, I think it was Seren from Mass Effect, the bad guy from that, because he sort of looks like that, the way I've got the main character's head and these sort of ear thingies that stick out, sort of type ears, like antenna sort of thing. And it sort of looks like him. And I've got his like sort of dark arm. Sort of, I think it's not black, but it's the one before that. Just sort of making my character look as cool. He's got like red eyes. And I'm like, because I sort of want the character to be, when I do get the main game, because I will recreate him, like be like a legend, be this, this is the character that everyone should fear. And it was actually pretty working well. I mean, I was playing with some other guy, some guy from France. We were doing the Devil's Lair mission, which is, I tried to do it before, as I might have said on the show. I tried to do the Devil's Lair mission, but my character wasn't... Well, the weapons weren't good enough, or it wasn't up to spec. I mean, I started going just before level 7 with my character, and there was a whole bunch of us, like 5 or 6 of us, and we sort of dropped into this area, because you sort of... It's a 3-person squad, and then there was like some other people there, and then I sort of joined up with this... I don't know, so people started dropping out because there was just like enemies all over the place. But I mean, we was getting tons of XP because the guns I had were pretty good, and I was just taking out them like left, right. So, I'm really good with the headshots. That's why I sort of prefer the Titan over the Hunter, because I mean, I have a sniper rifle with my Titan, and like, the Hunter is the one who has, as I said, the knives and the sniper rifle. But as I am playing the Titan and I'm using a sniper rifle, I'm like, okay, I'm pretty good with a sniper rifle. I've been headshot in several enemies. There is no real need for me to use the... what the hell is it? The sniper rifle on the Hunter. What the hell's going wrong with me? I don't know. I say I'm not drinking. That's probably why I'm stuttering. I'll probably have to get a beer for the second part of the show. With the Titan using a sniper rifle, I'm like, okay, this is pretty good. This is before I started creating the character I'm using now. And I'm like, okay, great. This is fun. So sniper rifle is pretty good. And all the guns are pretty good. I mean, I'm sort of like got secret weapons, but I've got stuff that I found from missions and, stuff that does really good damage. This game is such a fun game. And literally, I'm saying this to everyone. Make sure you listen, because, when I say something, you all should listen. Make sure you pick up this game on whatever console you want to get it on, because everyone's going to be playing this fucking game, because it is awesome. It's amazing. Because, I've got some back codes to give away. There's a slight catch to it, which I didn't know until recently, but, I'll tell you that in a second. Okay, I'm going to talk about it. I did get, because I didn't get this last time, because I was watching a video of people playing the alpha, that there's, special weapons, which I sort of knew, but I didn't know how to get. But I got access to a rocket launcher, which is really good. I did, because there's like 4 areas that you can go to in this this not 4 areas, 4 it's 4 missions. Like there's 4 side missions, sort of main missions. It's gets you acquainted with the game, because it's like the first one. It's like, okay, you need to find a ship, get yourself out of there, go back to the tower, and then come back in, and then you've got to do some bits and pieces, and then try and find a warp drive to help get you out of the Earth's system and go to like the moon or the other planets that you can go to in this game. I did all that, and I think I got that's where I got the rocket launcher, because then I got to do the Devil's Lair mission, because I was about level near the end of level 6, close to 7. So I thought, fuck it, I'll give it a go. I didn't do that well last time, but playing it this time, I did better. But yeah, So basically, it was like, went to the main sort of area, took out a bunch of enemies, and then we sort of followed it to this sort of like warehouse after warehouse after, stuff like that. Got teamed up with this other guy, this French guy, and it was, because I don't have a headset and I didn't think he spoke English. Speak English. What the fuck, I can't even speak English. And basically, we were sort of just me and him, like teaming up, sort of taken out all the enemies and then all the bosses, and we sort of set up a system that, you know, it was one of those symbiotic things. It was like, yep, okay, I could see what he was doing, and I sort of waited. I mean, there was times, I say, like the first, I think the first boss that we had to fight was just this great big, it was like one of the just, like one of the Vanguard, the captain type thing, but it was like a better one. It was like he had like a yellow bar of health, and it was like, okay, yeah, this is the first boss. We just sort of, I think we took a couple of times, but we just beat the shit out of him, not a problem. Then we went, just kept following this corridor, took out more enemies, and then we came to this big open sort of derelict, because I mean, it's all set in Russia, so basically sort of derelict open battlefield, and basically there was a whole bunch of us, like, you know, there was a bunch of enemies there, and then this great big fucking tank that, you know, you might have seen the screenshots, and like the walkthrough, they show you this big, great big tank that people, it was like a dozen of us, dozen people fighting. Me and him, we took it out together, just the two of us. That's how tough we are on this game. Basically, yeah, there was a little alcove which I found, and basically sort of me and him, we'd set up there, and then we just sort of literally fire as much ammo as we could into its legs, because, you know, there are, tip for you everyone, the legs on these sort of walker tanks are the weak points. You know, shoot them first, and make sure you take them out. That takes all the most of the damage, and don't worry about the hull, because she does nothing at all. But yeah, I just, you know, just shooting the legs, that was fun. And we died several times because we hadn't really worked out, because I mean literally there was so much, you know, this tank took so much bullet damage, we weren't too sure how he was going to get more ammo. And then basically after dying several times, we started like three or four times this boss battle. I was like, okay, you run out there, you fire off what the hell you've got left, you die, okay, and then come back. And when you respawn, you're given a whole shitload more ammo. So that's great, that's great. So basically, when I'd run out there and get myself killed, respawn with a whole ton of ammo, and then we just keep going at until we finished, and we, you know, beat the boss, took out all the enemies, and got some bits, different bits and pieces. But yeah, I got to try out the rocket launcher, which I was very excited to do. I mean, I slightly fucked up fighting one of the bosses, because I tried to bend the rocket, and that didn't work. I end up bending it too close to an actual object in front of me, and I blew myself up with my own rocket, which was very embarrassing. And that's the thing, you do get your ammo back for your special weapons, and your primary weapon, but the heavy stuff like the rocket launcher, you don't get your ammo back for that, because that's very scarce anyway. But yeah, I mean, we took out the armored tank, which was great. And then it was like went through to this final area where it was, I mean, people are playing the beta and the alpha. Though there's like these purple eye things that are floating around. The boss for the Devil's Lair one was this great big giant one, and you basically had to hit it in the iris and take it out that way. And I'm not sure what the French guy I was playing with was doing, because I couldn't see, because I sort of hid myself away in a little sort of cubby hole. I just sort of popped out occasionally and took out, you know, just kept shooting at him. And we sort of take it in turns of popping out and shooting at him. And then, you know, or if we saw, you know, sort of enemies popping up and that, we'd take them out as well. But yeah, it was a really really fun mission to do. And I can't wait to do it again when I do get the full game, because unless we're able to carry the stuff over, which we don't know yet, gonna have to do all the stuff over again anyway, which I don't mind, because it's such a fun game. But yeah, I mean the level cap for the beta is level 8. I mean, I didn't get the full experience of how the characters play, like, you know, different classes, because I mean at level 15 you open up sub jobs, which is like certain powers, I believe, I'm not too sure, because it's not really explained too well in the beta about this sort of stuff. But it was a lot of fun to sort of play around with. I mean, I say my character's nearly at level 80, so sort of three quarters of the way towards it. I've got a whole load of weapons. I've got a little bit of money. I'm sort of playing around with stuff and buying bits and pieces and items and gear, and, you know, that's what I like, the whole loot drop stuff, how that works. You know, different weapons and items, and, you know, so much fun that can be had with this game. So, I mean, you've got a few days left, so pre-order it, because when it comes out, you're going to really want to play it the same as everyone else. But as I said, I have two beta codes to give away. Basically, it's first come, first serve. A slight snag, though, they are for the PlayStation 4, and they are for only people in Europe. I did post this on the Facebook group, and on Twitter. But several people have tried them from the States, and they did work. But they are real codes, genuine codes. The first code is M65F B7N4A8 5H. I mean, I've got it written down. It just looks like letters. And the second one is 7MPP6ENDTAFH. Basically, those are the two beta codes. So make sure you if you live in Europe and you've got a PlayStation 4, make sure you try and use one of those codes before they, you know, if they don't work in Europe, that means someone else has got them and you're too late. But legit, I mean, to get these codes, you get three codes anyway when you sign up for the beta. Just, you know, you've got plenty of time left. Just, you know, go on Amazon, whatever it is you want to buy it from, GameStop, Game, you know, you name it. You know, go on there, pick up, you know, pre-order it. You'll get a bundle of codes. And, you know, give it to your mates or give them to me and I'll read them out on the show. You know, do what you like. It's up to you. But, yeah, I say the Destiny beta, a lot of fun. Still more fun to be had. I mean, I'm going to try and max out my character to level 8 and then, you know, run through, grab some money, stockpile up some weapons. I mean, that's the thing. This is a slight worry that I've got. I'm worrying about how long this game is going to be. I mean, even though, you know, there's three different classes and you can have tons of fun with customizing your character and how they look, that sort of stuff. But I do worry about how short it is, because, I mean, the level cap for the demo, for the beta is 8. And I've seen, you know, the sub jobs open at 15, but I've seen some exclusive gear which you only get at level 20. So I'm like, is this going to be very restricted? I mean, are we only playing up to level 20? I mean, I know they want to make sequels and, you know, sort of Mass Effect it with you can carry your characters over. So maybe they want to, you know, sort of not tone it down as such, but break you in gently and then bring out more stuff in the future. But I don't know. I mean, it's obviously they've got something planned and what they want to do with the game. But at the moment, we're sort of, well, we're left wondering, really. You know, it's, I mean, we know stuff, but we don't know a lot. But I'm not fussed, to be honest. I'm saying when the game comes out, I'm going to be looking forward to playing it, and it's going to be really good. But yeah, that's pretty much it for what I've been playing this week. But, you know, I'll get into the topic for this week, which is sort of classic games you'd like to see made today, and what games you'd like to see sequels to. Sort of what I've got, what I'm about to tell you is sort of a mix of everything, really. Mix of both those questions. But I say for me, I'll go for me first because I've got a bunch of, you know, listeners that have given me the answers as well. I mean, classic games, you know, I said sort of PlayStation 1 era and before. I mean, everyone's been asking for this. So I want to see like a remake to Final Fantasy 7, like with modern day graphics, and, you know, it could be really, really good. And would sell a shit ton because there's such a great fan service for it. It's like, you know, the fans are out there. We've been asking it for years. I mean, I'm a big fan of the Final Fantasy games. You know, 7, 8, and 9 are some of my favourites. You know, and say 8 and 9 as well on my list of stuff that I'd like to play again. Not play again, but, you know, I'd like to see. I mean, to us, with 8, I mean, I don't think you could remake it because, I mean, the graphics are, I mean, they're dated, but they are still very good. I mean, the cutscenes I wouldn't have to worry about because the cutscenes are exactly the same as they were back then. There's no real difference, but it does make me wonder if they do something wrong with this, you know, if they did try and remake it. But it's something that I'd like to see remade, get a sequel to. Other thing on my list, Rampage. Now, hopefully a lot of you remember Rampage. I played it. First time I played it was, I think, in the arcade in Wales. I was on a camping trip. Sort of, you know, three different characters. You know, Ralph, Lizzie, and George. You'd sort of, you know, you'd be basically Godzilla, giant werewolf, and King Kong, basically. Walk along the streets. Basically, you have like map after map after map, all being exactly the same. You climb up buildings, you destroy buildings, you eat people, you get bonuses like money or health or, you know, stuff like that. and you'd be basically shot at by the army with helicopters or tanks, or there'd be like some bloke with a grenade. And, you know, it's just a really fun game of basically destroy everything on screen and kill as many people, eat as many people, and have tons of fun with it. But, I mean, it has had a recent... Not a recent remake, but I mean, it was a few years ago. Let me just look it up quickly. I mean, it did, because I think it was on the PlayStation 2. Oh, one sec, Rampage. Here, Rampage World Tour. Yeah, this was on, wow, was it really that long ago? Holy shit. Yeah, 1997. It came out, what did I play it on? What's this? Yeah, it came out on the PlayStation, Saturn, N64. Basically PlayStation 2. I think I was supposed to play it on PlayStation 2. But yeah, Rampage World Tour was the last thing we got back in 97. So that counts as a classic game. Only second in the series, okay. Let's just have a look, double check at this. I mean, I'm a big fan of Rampage. I mean, you know, the original arcade machine was great. There was, you know, three people could play it at once. I remember many sort of summery nights in Wales, just sitting around this arcade machine with two other people I had no idea who were, and we sort of like just pick a character and start beating the shit out. And I think you beat each other up as well, which was a great thing to do. But yeah, so Rampage, very classic. I'd love to have something new to that. I mean, I wonder about how good it would be. I mean, what sort of area we'd be looking at to try and Well, I mean, with the three, how game, you know, open world games are with 3D and, you know, 3D environments, that sort of stuff, it would probably be changed to a 3D environment and not a classic, you know, side-scrolly 2D sort of thing. But I wouldn't mind. I mean, with Rampage World Tour, even though the graphics are dated a little bit, I mean, it was very nice looking for what it was back in the day. And this is, you know, this is nearly 20 years ago. But yeah, I say Rampage would be a great game to have that would, you know, online multiplayer these days, after classic games that you play together, 2D stuff, you know, 2D stuff, two player, three player, four player, you could have so much fun with. But yeah, other stuff that I'd like to see remade today, I mean, I've talked about this before, Road Rash, game was amazing. I think it was Road Rash 3D is what I had, rented or borrowed from a mate on my Mega Drive, the old Genesis back in the day. Oh, such a good game, you know. And then, you know, buying upgrades for your bike, the black bike that you get to, I think we might use a special code to get that would. I used to love riding the black bike because you sort of go over a jump or something and then go flying in the air and sort of miss out half the track. And then sort of finish the race really quickly. But yeah, Road Rash would be so much good. I mean, I know they're working on stuff, but it would be nice to have, you know, just something that similar to that, you know, a street fighting, you know, street racing rather, combat game. I mean, we have, you know, Twisted Metal and the Vigilante 8 series that we got back, you know, 20 years ago as well. But it would be nice to have something classic like Road Rash. You know, something really worth playing. What else have I got on my list? Wave Race 64. I'm gonna say, I know I've told this story before, but yeah, me and my sister used to play this before we go on holiday, like to Greece and stuff. Yeah, really good game. Very, I mean, I'm so what I liked about the what the hell was it? The jet skis in Grand Theft Auto 5. Very fun, very enjoyable, but it wasn't exactly Road Rash. It was close. It was very close, but it wasn't... Wave Race. It was... it didn't give us the exact feel that this game gave, and I want to be able to feel that how good that game is again and maybe get something new. I mean, a lot of stuff on my list is actually from the N64. I mean, it was a solid console, and, you know, lots and lots of fun to play. What else have I got... I think I said this as well as one of my favourite games or something. It was one of the list of games that I've done over many of the months of doing the show. The Pod Racer that we got, the Star Wars Pod Racing game. I wouldn't mind a new version of it, like with new graphics, because it was a very fun game. And, you know, several different characters, you can choose how you wanted. I mean, you could do so much with it with how, games are these days, you know, sort of like Need for Speed, you do, you can buy parts and stuff like that, and maybe that could work for the pod racing game. You know, there's so much opportunity to be had. I mean, they're looking at a whole load of stuff now of, you know, just sort of playing, going through the older games and, you know, remaking them, but HD Classic. I mean, you know, we're getting, you know, we had the Metal Gear Solid stuff, you know, we've got Last of, you know, the remastered versions, you know, stuff like that, you know, so much stuff that could be done. I saw also on the N64, Pokemon Snap. I loved this game back in the day. I literally played for hours and hours and hours and ends, trying to get the best score that I could get on each level. You know, and then, you know, once you found all the right Pokemon, you got access to Mew and had to take a picture of that. And yeah, I mean, now the fact that we got 719, I think it is. Oh God, so many, I lost track. I mean, I'm trying to breed like sort of one of everything at the moment, but yeah, it's, you know, over 700 and even more now with the whole Megas and stuff. But yeah, Pokemon Snap, there'd be so much done with that. I mean, same as, so I'd also like to see a Pokemon pinball game, that'd be great. But yeah, Pokemon Snap would be great if we actually had all Pokemon, you know, 20 or 30 different areas, all the different legends, well, not even twice as many, 60, 70 areas. Well, no, probably about 40, I'd say, 40, 50. Just trying to think that, you know, some of the legendaries could be in together in one area. I don't know, it could be worth, worthwhile. But yeah, I mean, I'd love to see something like that. Other thing on my list as well, this is, you know, the first sort of RPG that I actually played. Defenders of Oasis. Now, this game was amazing. It was back on the old Game Gear. I'd love to see it remade today. I mean, I don't think it would hold up well, to be honest. But there was sort of quirkiness to it and some sort of comedic elements. It just was a really, really fun game and one I had a lot of fun playing back in the day. I mean, you know, back when I was in school, I sort of played for hours on end trying to beat it and then, you know, get to the end again and, you know, just non-stop playing through this game again and again and again. Because, I mean, this is before I had, like, a console. It was just sort of a little handheld, you know. But, yeah, I say, you know, Game Gear, really amazing system. Now, this was a PlayStation 1 game, Cooler Worlds. Now, people don't know about this one. It was, I don't know if it did that well, but I had a lot of fun with it. I mean, I didn't actually have the main game, but I literally had too much fun with the demo anyway to worry about needing to buy the main game. But, yeah, this was sort of a puzzle one where you played as, like, a beach ball, and you sort of bounce around the levels, trying to get from one point to the other, I think, in the least amount of moves, using so many items. And it was just a really fun game because it was so quirky and weird. It was like, you know, you're just a beach ball, and you're bouncing around, and you're rolling around, and trying not to fall off the edge, and it's just a really, really fun game. But, yeah, it was very, very, very fun and enjoyable time, and, you know, sort of reminded me of going on holiday with the whole beach ball thing. Other stuff I like to see remade, I say, you know, this is a classic from the sort of Genesis era. The Strike games, I want to see some new. I mean, I did play, was it Thunder Wolves on my Xbox, which is fun, don't get me wrong, fun, very enjoyable, tons of different helicopters, loads of different missions, very Strike era feely, but it just wasn't what I wanted from that sort of thing. I mean, the graphics would probably be a whole lot better if it was done by EA. Well, the way EA are these days, we don't know. But yeah, I mean, I would love to see some sort of new Strike games pop up and, you know, be fun and playable. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, some of the Strike games are legendary. You know, I didn't play too much. I think it was Jungle Strike. I didn't play too much. Desert Strike, I had so much fun with that. I mean, I never got into Urban Strike, but my mates of mine had that. I did play Soviet Strike. I never did Nuclear Strike. I think I might have played that one, but it was sort of like a really shitty scratch disc, and it just broke on me, I think. But yeah, I mean, there are some really good Strike games, and it's been 20 years since we played one. We need to have it. I mean, I'd love to know, because I mean, I think Soviet Strike with all the live action characters, I'd love to know what they look like now after 20 years of being nowhere, really. But yeah, I say, you know, I've asked this to people to the old Facebook group, and got one from Cornax. He says, I've been actually thinking about this recently and thought that what if Bethesda made a Fallout, if they remade Fallout and Fallout 2 in the style of Fallout 3 and Fallout New Vegas. As for sequels, how about an actual sequel to Conker's Bad Fur Day, rather than just a straight-up remake with some multiplayer? Yeah, I mean, I know of Conker's Bad Fur Day and all the shit it got, and you know, seems like my perfect game, to be honest. But yeah, I mean, that would be nice to have a sequel to that. I mean, they are talking about bits and pieces. I think, was it Conker's Bad Fur Day was from Rare? One second, let me just Google this. But yeah, I mean, here we go. Yeah, first thing that pops up. Who made this game? Published, yeah, by Rare. Published by Rare. Developed by Rare, yeah. But I mean, as Rare are doing the whole Kinect bullshit stuff that no one cares about, you know, I mean, it would be nice if they sort of made this game again. Not remade this game, but, you know, made a sequel to it. But it's something that could be happen. That could happen. I'll just look, because I did ask in another group as well. Here we go. Yeah, you know, I asked other people, and we got various comments. Now, this one I never played, right? But I did. I know the box, and I know what it's all about. Jet Moto. That would be, I mean, it's sort of a jet, sort of road rash bike type thing. Yeah, I mean, I've seen it, and I'd say it's one of those things. It's the game I kept seeing pop up all over the place when I, you know, back in the days of PlayStation 1 era. Whenever I'd go into my local, I think it was back when it was Electronics Boutique, pop in there and, you know, try and find some games that I wanted to play. And this one literally kept popping up at me, and I was like, okay, I wanted something to play, and I never got around to buying this. I should have. I mean, I'll have to look on the on PlayStation 3 and see if it's on the PlayStation store there. It must be, because it's a classic. But yeah, that's what Steven says, Jet Moto. Matthew, he says, Threads of Fate, it was a fantastic game, and I wish Square had continued the series. And I looked at the graphics in this. The graphics in this are pretty good. I mean, I know it's Square, and, you know, they're pretty good when it comes to graphics and everything. But yeah, I mean, another RPG from Square, apart from Final Fantasy, would have been great, but they sort of stopped and then sort of just focused on doing Final Fantasy games, to be honest. But yeah, Stephen also says, he says Chrono Trigger. Now, I can agree with that, but I mean, I can agree. I'm trying to think of a negative to it, but I mean, Chrono Trigger, I mean, I haven't finished it. I'm sort of, well, I don't know where I am in it. I got to the future world where it's all like a nuclear waste area. I mean, I've got this on my iPod Touch, but yeah, I mean, Chrono Trigger is a great game. You know, I can play for hours and hours and hours on end. But yeah, if that was remade today, that would look really good, especially multiple endings. And yeah, I mean, there's so many of these games that were sort of top down isometric that we'd like to see remade today with the way everything is. But I don't know. Yeah, Chrono Trigger would be great to see, but I don't think they'd do it. I mean, way everything is these days with certain companies making certain things. But Lashita says Wild 9, which, another thing, I think I played the demo of this. I mean, because back in the day, I used to buy the old PlayStation magazine, and they'd come with, like, a free demo disc. You know, sort of, what was it? You know, Bolly Game was, like, about 12 demos on it. It was, like, you know, various certain things. I think this was on this. I can't remember what it was. But, yeah, I mean, it seemed okay. I mean, you know, I heard a lot of talk about this one. But the next one, from Joe, Legacy of Kain. That's one of the things I don't understand why we haven't had a. I mean, because it sort of, I think it pretty much died out with the PlayStation 1. But yeah, Legacy of Kain would be great to play. I mean, I think I did play the demo of this, and it was I did actually play the demo of this. I think it's one of those demos I did play. But yeah, it was a really fun game, and I mean, just overall thinking, talking out loud now. I wouldn't mind if we actually got some of the classic games that we had remade. I mean, it's not really a remake as such. It's more, I mean, you know, with movies and stuff, they're doing this all the time. You know, we're getting movies that have been out and have, you know, that have done what they've needed to do. And then, you know, back in the day, and now they've just sort of, as technology's got better to improve the visual effects, they've basically been remade, whether we wanted to or not. But some of these games that, you know, I'm talking about now, you know, Road Rash, Chrono Trigger, Legacy of Kain, you know, would be great if they got, you know, remakes or, you know, something like that from it. But yeah, you know, Stephen agrees with Joe about the whole legacy of Kane stuff. He says, nail on the head there, man. I love those games, especially the Soul Reavers after. Yeah, we sort of played, I think, was as the bad guy, who, you know, I never played it, but I do know of the story and sort of wish I'd had played it, to be honest. Christopher says it might say lame, but he'd love to see a remake of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3, the Manhattan Project. I need to look this up, because I did look up a whole bunch of these before the show started. One second. Sorry. Manhattan Project. Okay, let's have a look at this. Images. Oh, this looks pretty good. It's just basically your side. I think I might have played this, to be honest. Hang on, what did this come out on? One second, sorry, I'm just sort of talking out loud as I do. This came out on was it back in the early 90s? I was on the Famicom, the NES. No, I didn't play this. I think I might have played something else. But yeah, I mean, this is it's your basic classic side-scrolling, pick one of whatever characters, beat 'em up sort of game. Oh, I've just thought of something else that I do want to play along the lines of the whole thing. A remake of Cadillacs and Dinosaurs, one of my favourite games to play, sort of scrolly, you know, shoot 'em up. In fact, you've got weapons with this one, like guns and grenades and stuff like that. I'd love to see it sort of remake and, you know, or a sequel to it, or, you know, something these days that can be done with it. It's, you know, I mean, we've got the cartoon series that didn't do too many episodes but was okay. But yeah, I say, like, you know, Cadillacs and Dinosaurs, along with the whole, you know, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. But I mean, that's the thing. One of the whole big genres that's being dropped and left aside is the whole side-scrolly beat-em-up sort of game, and we don't really get them anymore. I mean, you know, I talked about Fighting Force a few weeks ago. I'd love to see something like that, you know, Final Fight, Streets of Rage, something along that line that we could play, but I don't know. But, you know, that'd be really good to sort of have some fun with, you know, old school classic, you know, side scrolly beat 'em up multiplayer. You know, it's the thing, say, with all these games these days that were multiplayer games, it's like, yeah, you don't need to have someone sit next to you anymore. With the internet, I can play with someone who's like 7,000 miles away. But yeah, some of those games are pretty good. And Joe, again, he brings up something which I've really, you know, I remember we got, this was something that was supposed to be getting with Xbox Live. It was the game room, where you could buy arcade machines that had these games on. I mean, it was one of the ones that was rumoured we were supposed to be getting before they shut it down. Sunset Riders. Now, I played this in the arcade. This was a classic. Now, anyone, pause the podcast if you listen to it. Go on YouTube, look up Sunset Riders. Now, this was like your classic side-scrolling shoot-em-up. Literally, shoot-em-up, because you were a cowboy. I think it was Magnificent Seven Star. One of the characters was like a Mexican. But yeah, it was like tons of fun. It was like, yeah, I think the first mission was like you were on a train and basically shooting out soldiers as they were popping up out of windows or behind logs. And Sunset Riders, a classic game. I mean, you know, I think I played like once or twice, which is, you know, it was why I was so happy when we got announcement that the fact that this was coming to the game room on Xbox. I'm like, great. I never finished it. I got a few levels into it. I'd love to play it again. And we got fuck all. It would be really nice to have, you know, something like this again to play. I mean, I know, you know, we've got various cowboy games over the years. We've got Gun, we've got Red Dead Redemption, you know, stuff like that. But something like this would be nice. I mean, I miss the whole side-scrolly shoot-em-up, beat-em-up genre. It's not really around anymore. I mean, same as the flying games. I mean, I'd love to see a new... Say, one of the things I'd like to see... Not... It did get sequels, but I mean, I'd love to see remade today some of the classic the Star Wars TIE Fighter Road Squad. I mean, I know we're getting that Star Command. Is it Star Command? That's supposed to be coming out on the PlayStation, on the PC, once it gets all its money, because it's doing a Kickstarter for like, I think, £80 billion or something really crazy like that. But yeah, I mean, as I say, there's so many different genres of games that we're missing out on these days, because I don't know if it's not enough of a market, but it's just, it's easier to just make shooters, and pretty much all we're getting, really. But yeah, other stuff. Greg, he said, I'd love to see a remake of Zelda 2. It's the only game in the series that just wasn't that good, but because it wasn't made by Nintendo, it was made by someone else. They just scratch it down to the intro music and start all over again. Yeah, I mean, I know of Zelda 2. I've seen footage of it, but I mean, I'm sort of Link's Awakening, Ocarina of Time, Majora's Mask to a certain extent. But yeah, I mean, it's understandable. You know, Zelda 2, it wasn't really a small Link. It was like a giant Link going across the screen, sort of Mario-esque. But yeah, you know, if they wanted to remake it. But I mean, the fact that we're getting the new Zelda game for the Wii U, and supposedly that's going to be pretty good, you might get your chance there. Hopefully it's just as good. Joe again also says Gunstar Heroes. Now, I remember Gunstar Heroes. I never got into it. I never played it. So I'm just looking it up now. Oh, here we go, Gunstar Heroes. Yeah, I never played it, but I mean, we did get the, I think it was like the remake. I wasn't sure if it was a remake. It was something that came out on the, I think, Xbox or PlayStation back in, back a few years ago, I think it was. But yeah, this is, you know, it was like a pretty fun game, you know, from the, you know, from Mega Drive, Genesis. But yeah, I mean, one of those ones it would be nice to have some fun with. I'd say that looks like a side-scroll and beat-em-up as well. But so many of these good games that, you know, yeah, some of the classics that we remember. Maybe like a, I'm thinking of, I mean, we did get a sequel to this, but I would love to see it remade today, like a newer version. I mean, I know I'm talking about a lot about remakes and newer versions stuff, because I've got a whole bunch of stuff to talk to you about in the news section, which is coming up after the break. But I want to see some of the classic games that we love that got us inspired to play more of these games in a certain type, or, you know, classic games that we say, yeah, this is what I played on my such and such, and, you know, gave us love to play gaming, to be gamers, to be who we are today, you know. But yeah, I mean, some really good games. I mean, I've still got some games buzzing around my head. I mean, there's games that I know of vaguely, and I actually can't remember the title. I mean, I played some game on the PlayStation 1, I think it was, where you were basically in a... It was a very polygon-based, very basic game on the PlayStation 1. I can't remember what the hell it was, but I mean, you could do a lot of terraforming with the environment. But you destroy stuff and you get crystals, and you were like a flying ship, and you'd like get enough crystals and you'd get like missiles and bits and pieces that would attach to your ship to take out enemies with. I can't remember what that game was. I mean, it was a really, really good game. But yeah, it's just tons of fun. I can't remember what the hell. I mean, I'd love to know what this game is. I mean, there's other games as well that I've played that sort of like an isometric robot smashing game. This is an arcade game. Fuck, I'm going with 25 years ago now. Nearly, probably less than that, but roughly 20-25 years. I don't even know what the hell the name of the game was called. It was sort of like a robot beat 'em up sort of thing. You know, I don't even remember too much about it. But yeah, I mean, it's hard to think about all these games. I mean, the past couple of weeks, I've done the best games we've played, our favourites, our worst ones, overrated, that sort of stuff. It's like trying to think of some of this stuff now. It's just, it all wraps up around each other and becomes part of, you know, something that we've played and something we've enjoyed. But yeah, I'm going to take a quick break now because I need a rest because my mouth is pretty sore. But yeah, don't forget as well, you know, new segment coming up next. Basically, I'm not sure what the topic is for next week or the week after. I'll think of something. Don't worry, you know me. But yeah, I say I'll get into the ways you can contact the show after this break. And I'll see you all in a few minutes.
That combination and Ashley, you're from England, so we're not really sure what asshole number you would be. We just know it would be at least two extra numbers and one extra dash.
Yeah,
that's all we know for sure. Yeah. It's a sort of country code.
Ladies and gentlemen, we invite you to have a go.
If you'd like to Skype in, it's Antisocial Gamer Radio, all one word.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
Well, that's where they started, yeah. But a priest biting another priest's ear off?
Colorado Dickhead said, did you see the dude in Texas who beat the minister to death with an electric guitar? You hear about that?
An electric? What do they don't have? What do they have, a slide guitar down there? They don't have electric guitars down
there?
It was
Monsignor Hendrix who did it. I just made that up. Thanks, Colorado Dickhead.
Father Clapton. Goes ape shit.
Brother Becht.
Friar Ray Vaughan goes ape shit in church. Now that's a big news.
Rabbi Little Richards.
We'll go with Keith Richards.
Father Van Halen. Yeah, very nice. Yeah, Eddie Van Halo.
The Conti and Kenny Show. Monday nights, 7 to 10, on morelikeradio.com.
Hey smokers, you stink worse than a dumpster. Stop living in the Middle Ages and try an electronic cigarette today by Smokeless Image. Just go to tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke. They're cheaper than regular cigarettes, don't smell, and come in a variety of flavors like fruit, mint, and traditional tobacco flavors. Order your new electronic cigarettes from Smokeless Image today by going to tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke. That's tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke.
Yeah, we can't sell Betsy's milk to nobody. Absolutely nobody.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
You can't sell that milk.
I got pain. That's all I have. Yo, I got pain.
I almost said I got pain.
I'ma smell it.
Dude fucking takes the bread, shoves it in her ass, shits it back out, puts it in the case. That's how you wrap the bread.
You can jiggle your fist around in there without hitting the sides.
The Orange Room. 9 to 11, Saturday nights on More Like Radio.
If you're sick and tired of getting pro wrestling only after it's gone through the PG filter, then it's time you were introduced to Combat Zone Wrestling. Celebrating 15 years of ultra-violence, Combat Zone Wrestling will give you all the high-stakes, high-flying, and hard-hitting pro wrestling you can handle. Check out their live event schedule, get information on their next iPay-per-view, skim the roster, or shop for CZW merch right now at czwrestling.com. That's czwrestling.com. No dance segments, no endless talk of downloading apps, just wrestling. Combat Zone Wrestling, the ultra-violent underground.
Have you ever wanted something so bad that you do just about anything for it? Well, that's exactly how we feel about you. That's right. AdamandEve.com wants you so bad. We're giving you 10 free gifts with your first order. You heard me right. That's 10 free gifts to spice up your love life. First, you'll get a sexy surprise for her. Second, an adventurous toy for him. And third, a little something we know you'll both enjoy. Plus, you'll get 6 full-length adult movies on DVD. And number 10, free shipping on your entire order. That's 10 free gifts for you shy types who've never tried Adam and Eve before. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy, a sexy piece of lingerie, or anything you desire. Just enter offer code DEAL48 at checkout and you'll get all 10 free gifts, including free shipping. That's offer code DEAL48. That's DEAL48 at adamandeve.com.
Listen to More Like Radio every Tuesday night for the answer to this question that's on everybody's lips.
What does the trunk say?
On your fuck. Oof. Ah.
What the trunk say?
I'm not one that judges penises. Blah, 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 blah. I can't understand what.
What does the trunk say?
Do it in a bourbon barrel. I am all over the goddamn place. Okay. Oh. Let me, excuse me,
What the drunk say?
I will fucking do that. I think that's enough of the racism there. Okay.
What does the drunk say?
Alcohol by Volume, Tuesdays 6 to 8 p.m. only on morelikeradio.com.
Looking to go to the biggest internet radio live event on the Eastern Seaboard? Well, go to the second annual More Like Radio live event, a tribute to Otto Peterson, Saturday, August 9th from 1 to 4 p.m. at Just Jake's in Montclair. Come see your favorite comedians and possibly Mersh if you could get a ride. $10 suggested donation. All proceeds would go to benefit the Otto Peterson family. August 9th from 1 to 4 p.m. at Just Jake's in Montclair.
Hey, are you absolute garbage? Let me guess, an alcoholic? A drug addict? When was the last time you were even out of your house? Well, why don't you join us for the Red Show? We're all about personal betterment and self-esteem.
I want to do, maybe like City Meets the Swamp, something. Something.
I hope it ends up with the fucking city getting eaten by a goddamn alligator.
Ambassadors of Peace, at any income level.
That's what we do here. We're all about olive branches.
No, you're a fucking white trash asshole. You're about olive fucking garden, okay?
One thing we don't forget is how important our fans are.
Is there anything more you want to say about any of these cocksuckers that are listening?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
And we recognize the struggles and hardships of our friends.
We don't give a fuck. I hope you relapsed. Burn in hell, bull.
Oh, my God. What are you doing?
I meant I love you, bro. Get better.
So come join us live Wednesday nights and experience functional substance abuse on The Red Show. Only on More Like Radio.
You're doing some things with Enya, correct?
I hope you end your life. Now get off the microphone while I talk to my pal.
What kind of store only has one thing on the shelf? T-Fury does. Now before you complain, listen to how it works. Each day a brand new t-shirt design becomes available for only 24 hours, then it's replaced by a new design the following day. They're all submitted by freelance artists too, so they're completely unique. They come in multiple colors and sizes, and they're all inspired by nerd and geek culture. And for only $11 per shirt, you can't go wrong. Check out today's limited edition design right now at tinyurl.com/MLRTs. Bookmark it and check back daily for new designs at tinyurl.com/MLRTEES.
Hey guys, check out my sweet Chim Pokemon doll.
Please, Chim Pokemon dolls are so last week.
What? Yeah, dude, don't you know? It's all about the Chim Pokemon video game now. Did you bring your special Chim Pokemon game controller? Huh? No.
Oh, you didn't get a special Chim Pokemon game controller. Jesus Christ.
Chim Pokemon, what is primary objective?
To destroy the evil power.
I've got to buy all the Chim Pokemon so I can destroy the evil power, huh?
Damn it.
I've got to buy them all. So first I'd better go to Hawaii and visit Pearl Harbor.
Try to bump the harbor. Ready?
Go, I must buy them all.
We must buy them all.
Try to bump the harbor.
So the video game gave Kenny a seizure. This game rules.
And welcome back to part two of Antisocial Game Radio, live on MoreLikeRadio.com. Don't forget, as I said before the before the break, you can get in contact. You can call us. It's Antisocial Game Radio on Skype, it's all one word. If you do want to join our Facebook group, which I highly recommend because there's a whole bunch of stuff going on there, and literally more the merrier, facebook.com/groups/MLRGamerLobby. Also, you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/antisocialgamerradio. That's the Facebook page for the show. Up to 172. A few more would be lovely. Don't forget to share it with your friends once you've liked it. That'd be helpful. And also, you can you email us. It's antisocialgamerradio@yahoo.co.uk. And also, you can follow us on Twitter at MLRGamerRadio. As I said before, as this topic was about remakes and sequels we'd like to see, we got this announced. This is from GameSpot. New Doom announced and detailed by id Software and Bethesda. It's been almost a decade since we saw a new Doom game. After years of waiting, what the hell's wrong with me? I can't say the beginning of words. The fourth iteration, not the orth, of Doom has been officially unveiled, detailed, and named called simply Doom. The game brings the story back to the beginning. It's an origin story. At this year's QuakeCon conference, id Software showed off the new game, finally detailing what exactly we can expect. It focuses on fast-paced combat. It takes place on Mars, outside of a Union Aerospace Corporation building. You'll be using melee combat a lot. The combat is brutal. It's is designing crazy enemies and weapons. As long as the BFG's in it, I don't give a shit. You'll be able to carry around a large arsenal all at the same time. Of course you could, because if you couldn't do that, well, to be honest, it wouldn't be any other game. And if you couldn't do that, it wouldn't be Doom. Doom looks to be especially violent, which it should be, because it's Doom. During one section of the demo, it presented... the player ripped an arm off the guard to get through a biometric scanner. How fucking cool does that sound? I can't wait. I can't wait to play this. I mean, I'm a big Doom fan. I mean, I literally had it on my PlayStation. I think it was on PlayStation. One of the fucking earliest consoles I can get it on. I had it on my phone. It's Doom. It's the classic. Where was I? I've lost my place now. I got overexcited. Here we go. The player proceeded to then wield a chainsaw, wreaking havoc. Yes, exactly. In 2008, id announced that it was working on Doom 4, the next installment in the long-running first-person shooter franchise. Publisher Bethesda then revealed in 2011 that the project had been completely scrapped and restarted. Original Doom creator and longtime id Software programmer John Carmack also left the studio last November, joining Rift VR Development's Oculus as its chief technical officer. I think he should come back, but I don't know. If they feel like they're going to do well without him, then whatever. Finally, when Wolfenstein released in May of this year, we got word of a new game, word of the game again. Bloomed that there would be a beta for the Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and PC. Now we know what it's called and how it looks. Honestly, I haven't even seen the trailer yet. I'm gonna save this after the show. I can't wait to watch this. But this is no release details have been announced yet, but the game will launch for Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and PC. It runs on the id Tech 6 at 1080p and 60 frames per second. I've got something else on this. What the hell is it? One second. Here we go. Yeah, this is also from GameSpot. Doom reboot unlikely to be seen again this year. Following last week's QuakeCon reveal, id Software is getting back to work on its rebooted shooter. I'll just carry on. I'll read this. QuakeCon last week. The new blah blah blah. Here we go. Yeah, Pete Hines, PR and marketing boss at Doom Publisher, told Bethesda. Publisher Bethesda told PC Gamer that Doom is not yet ready for a proper reveal. Next year is normally when I'd like. I think we would have started. Hines says, but amidst reports of problems at id Software and trouble development of the game, it was decided that something should be shown. Bethesda and id didn't want to expose the still in process game. To an extreme amount of scrutiny at the stage, though, hence the reason for QuakeCon only reveal. Yeah, but I'm honest, it's someone's going to be there with a camera phone recording it and shit like that anyway. So, but I mean, that's the thing. I mean, never reveal anything unless you have to. And when you're pushing out a game, only put it out when it's ready. So basically, you know, we're not pushing you to do shit. If you lot keep your mouth shut about whatever it is you're making or whenever it's supposed to come out, best keep your mouth shut and stop going on about it and then actually make it so that it's out at a reasonable release date when you're close to actually sure that it's going to be fine and bug-free and not a pile of crap. But, you know, I mean, I'm looking forward to Doom. I really am. We're working with them to say, how does this work? What do we want to show? Hines explained, and they're like, look, we don't want a Steam to go up for a game that isn't at the point where we would have formally show it to the world. And now that the thing is getting picked apart and digested and gone through frame by frame and getting nitpicked to death, where normally we wouldn't be showing this to anybody at all. Let's have a look. Yes, is we learned last year that what was at the time called Doom 4 had been rebooted because an earlier version did not exhibit the quality and excitement that id and Bethesda intended to deliver, and that was Doom, and that Doom fans would worldwide would expect. Yeah, basically, I mean, you have to make something. You know, it's Doom. It's the classic. It is the classic first-person shooter. It is the original first-person shooter. One of, I think, you know, Wolfenstein, that counts as well. But Doom is the one that everyone knows and everyone's played, and, you know, in every iteration you've played Doom. But yeah, I mean, I can't wait. It's going to be so... I mean, this is the top of my, you know, list of when it comes out. It's going to be one of the ones I'm looking forward to. Here we go. Let's try and find some... Yeah, here we go, yeah. I've got tons of good news this week. I've got tons of good stuff, and argumentative stuff, and talkative stuff, and... It's weird. It's like, okay, where do I go with this? So I was like, that first or that fast? That, you know, it's whatever. You know, I'm losing me bloody mind. Here we go from Kotaku. Some sports fans upset at ESPN is airing video game tournaments. This weekend, this article was from what? Yesterday. Yeah, here we go. Yesterday. So, yeah, this weekend, ESPN2 aired a preview for the grand finals of the Dota 2, the international, the $10 million. It's too much fucking money, people, for the very popular video game. The move is kind of a big deal. Arguably, it grants competitive gaming more mainstream legitimacy, but not everyone was happy to see Dota 2 on ESPN, which I can understand, because, yeah, it's video gaming professionally, blah, blah, blah. It's not a sport. It's just a competition. It's, I mean, you know, I went to, you know, Pokemon Nationals as the most competitive I get. I wouldn't want to watch that on TV. I mean, I watch like some battles on like YouTube to get some hints and tips, but I'd rather watch someone explaining stuff to me about, you know, like an in-depth review of a Pokemon or whatever, than actually sit down and watch this stuff. I mean, it's just so boring because it's so slow, and it's. I mean, we say with the Pokemon stuff, it's not really supposed to be fast paced. It's because it's you know, it's rotation, it's, you know, you move then I move, it's, you know, like chess. But yeah, I can understand why people are getting out of their box about this stuff, and with every right. I mean, ESPN, it's a sports channel. Dota 2, all these fucking Hearthstone, all this sort of shit, it's not a sport. Just because you've got half a fucking Korea interested in this shitty game, I mean, it's Korea, you know, fucking Korea's in a bad state anyway, both North and South. I mean, they make their fucking living on fucking StarCraft. Jeez. But yeah, I mean, how many people up in the chat is going about, what was this, ESPN 8, the Ocho? Yeah, I mean, I don't understand half the shit that's going on with bloody ESPN these days. I mean, it's just so annoying, all this stuff. I hate all the fucking PC gaming bullshit with Dota 2 and, you know, all these ones that they think, you know, the Major League Gaming stuff. I just can't stand it. I actually commented on this. I said, look, if you want to show all the Major League Gaming stuff, blah, 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 do it on fucking Twitch. Twitch is designed for fucking gaming. Show it on there. Don't show it on ESPN. ESPN's for proper sports. People running around getting sweaty. Not some fucking gaming nerd like myself sitting on a computer. It's, yeah, okay, I'd rather, you know, I mean, some people commented on this. They said, well, yeah, well, they show poker. Poker's not a fucking sport. It's a competition. That, you know, there's different. Sports is when you get up, you get run around, and you get sweaty. I mean, you know, you know, fuck it. That's annoying me. It really is. I say I hate this sort of shit. Let's go to something else. Let's have a look what else we got. Where was that? I know I saw it. One sec. Here we go. Yeah. As something else to do with gaming as well. Numerous YouTube stars. This is from CVG. This came out last week. Numerous YouTube stars admit to being paid by publishers. Survey finds that some online personalities have accepted money in return for coverage. Of course they have. Of course they've been bought. A whole fucking lot of them. Nearly a dozen YouTube stars. I say that with air quotes because, I mean, fuck. They're as much of a celebrity as I am. And these bastards can go fuck themselves. YouTube stars are admittedly to accepting money from game publishers or developers in exchange for covering their games. I mean, fuck it. You know, whatever, publisher, send me a game and I'll play it and review it for you. Fucking hell. You don't have to pay these people. Just give them the fucking game and let them review it, you know. Because that always goes well, you know, GameSpot. In a survey carried out by Gamasutra, 141 YouTubers were asked asked a number of questions regarding the ethics of YouTube video game criticism. Only 30%, that's 42 people, had over 5,000 subscribers to their channel. Of these 42 people, 26% admitted to receiving money directly or indirectly from a game dev publisher for recording videos of their games, with another two replying that they would prefer not to say. Well, of course not, of course. I mean, that's how you get the word of your game out these days. But I mean, because literally, I mean, to be honest, when someone speaks about something on YouTube and they have like a big following, publishers, of course, they're going to latch onto these people. It's like, yeah, well, this guy's got all the big, you know, same with the Pokemon stuff. You know, there's tons of different Pokemon people out there that I watch, and they have like massive followings. And you know, yeah, you give them stuff that people are going to listen to them because they have a massive following of what they do, what they talk about. But yeah, I say the survey also points out that of these with less than 5,000 subscribers, only 2% have received money from a publisher, showing that as a YouTuber's popularity increased, the number of offers they received does too. Well, that's no shit, really. They want the best they can possibly do. But yeah, I mean, I say, with the YouTubers, because there are no gaming channel. There are no... I mean, G4's not around anymore. I mean, you know, with the internet podcast, you know, what I'm doing now, you know, I've got a great big listenership of about, what, 3,000 to 4,000 people, you know. Why not get my free games and my money from these people? But no, I mean, they shouldn't be. I mean, it does make me wonder, though, just thinking now. It's like, yeah, your people, these, right, we've got the publishers, they're paying these people to play their games at an increase. It's one of those things, it's sort of chicken or the egg, basically. I'm thinking, if these YouTube stars didn't get the games from these people, would they be so popular? But the publishers are seeing these people who have a slight following and saying, well, okay, here's, I don't know, fucking Assassin's Creed 17. Go and play it now, and you'll get a whole load of people coming to see your channel because they've gone through YouTube and gone, well, I want to see some footage on Assassin's Creed 17. And, you know, and they're getting all the views, and it's doing well. People and Ubisoft are selling copies of Assassin's Creed 17 hand over fist because of they've given it to one YouTube. You know, it sets fires. It really does. But to be honest, though, with publishers and games these days, it all comes back down. I mean, because these YouTubers are basically the new, you know, I mean, this is a total, you know, I mean, I've talked about the show before, Games Master. I mean, it's not going to come back because Patrick Moore's dead. But it was a big show in the 90s, hosted by Dominic Diamond. And it was like, yeah, they'd have people on and sort of semi-celebrities. They'd have, like, football stars on there. And they'd, you know, talk about, play the games. You know, they'd, you know, some playing football, they'd play, like, FIFA or whatever. And they'd, like, you know, stuff like that. But without that these days, it was just down to these YouTube stars. And, you know, I mean, we have like IGN and GameSpot, and they're all doing their own versions of the whole, you know, the whole what makes people want to watch this stuff, and you know, it's weird to explain. And but I mean, it's stuff I shouldn't really have to, because I mean, if you're keeping an ear to the ground when it comes to the gaming stuff, you know all this stuff already. But yeah, I'm gonna move on because literally I'm not exactly running out of time. But I mean, this topic has run its course. What else have we got? Let's have a look. Okay, one second. There was a whole bunch of stuff that I found. No, I don't really want to talk about that. So I'm just sort of running through stuff. Here we go. Oh, shit. Hang on, let me click on the right thing. We've got bookmarks. Yeah, here we go. This is some Microsoft news. I've got some bits and pieces here. One second while that's loading. I'm trying to grab a drink. It's been a really nice warm day today, but it's just so bloody hot. checking my drink, make sure there's no fly in it. There we go. Yeah, that's better. This is from GameSpot. Microsoft shutting down Xbox Entertainment Studios, but Halo projects are unaffected. The studio responsible for developing original video game, original video programming for Xbox will close as a result of the layoffs announced today. This article came out a few days ago. And I got into sort of several arguments about this because terminology and words used and that sort of stuff. Following this morning's announcement that Microsoft will lay off up to 18,000 of its employees. Holy shit. The company has revealed that it will shut down Xbox Entertainment Studios, the division responsible for original Xbox programming. In a statement issued to GameSpot, Microsoft outlined its plans to streamline a handful of portfolio and engineering development efforts across Xbox. This includes the shutdown of XES in the coming month. Prior to this, it was unclear how the Xbox business would be affected by the layoffs. A report earlier this week suggests that Xbox marketing employees would be let go, but that remains unconfirmed. Yeah, some of the XES employees, including President Nancy Tellem, Vice President Jordan Levin, will stay on and remain committed to original programming already in production. This includes Signal to Noise, the documentary series that will cover among the subjects the Atari ET dig, as well as Halo Nightfall and Steven Spielberg's Halo TV series. I love this. It makes me laugh so much, the fact that we're going to have all this sort of TV stuff, and then basically they just shut down the whole, pretty much most of it, and they're just leaving it with Halo and that shitty Atari dig, which is basically a 5-second news article. Yep, they found a load of Atari, ET Atari things in the deserts, and we move on, basically. A week ago, Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella offered a show of support for the Xbox division, which the company has reportedly considered selling off, but his statement had made no mention of Microsoft's attempts to develop original video programming in recent years. This programming was to include interactive content, but would not affect the gamer-first approach Microsoft was taking with the Xbox One. Plans for a wide variety of content, in addition to the shows mentioned above, have already been announced. This includes a program from Jash, the comedy group comprised of Tim and Eric, I have no idea who they are, Michael Cera, which that'll be funny, and Sarah Silverman, and Reggie Watts. Don't know who he is, but I know Sarah Silverman, and she's that comedian, not very funny, but you know. And a football reality series called Every Street United has already been debuted on Xbox Live to coincide with the World Cup. I don't know. I mean, World Cup's over, whatever. Whole bunch of it's Microsoft. It sounds like a whole bunch of double turns going on at the moment with their sort of shit, what they're trying to do, and it's funny. It is really, really funny. We'll go on about this, because this is a game I've been looking forward to for a while, but nothing's been said about it. Quantum Break, unaffected by Microsoft redundancies. The game / TV show hybrid will continue despite Xbox Entertainment Studio shutdown. Development of upcoming Xbox One exclusive Quantum Break will not be affected by the Quantum Break offers a combination of gameplay and live-action TV show elements, leading some to believe that Microsoft's decision to shut down its original TV programming arm to Xbox Entertainment Studios may have an impact on the project. Microsoft has confirmed to Polygon that this will not be the case, and that Quantum Break's development will continue unaffected. The game will be released next year, and the game and show both remain on track, and Microsoft's statement read. The news of the Xbox Entertainment Studios have not impacted our progress, and we're excited to share more details of Quantum Break at Gamescom in August. Microsoft confirmed on Thursday that it will be closing Xbox Entertainment Studios as part of a significant restructuring of the company, in which 18,000 staff will be laid off. That's a hell of a lot. While this will signal cuts of a large portion of the studio's projects, work on some series, including Halo Nightfall and the entire documentary titled Signal to Noise, will continue as planned with Microsoft's backing. In May, developer Remedy Entertainment confirmed that Quantum Break will be released in 2015. The third-person story-driven cover shooter is comprised of episodic action game and an episodic TV thriller, with which will ship in one package. Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I probably have an Xbox One by that point, but it's gonna be something good to see. I mean, I don't know. B-Bots in the chat says, what do you mean Sarah Silverman's not funny? She's been up and coming for 20 years. Yeah, I know. I mean, yeah, she's as funny as dog shit on a windscreen. But yeah, I mean, I don't find Sarah Silverman funny. I find her funny with lying in a ditch with a bullet in her head. Yeah, but no, I mean, I think the only time I actually laughed at one of her jokes was the Paris Hilton one when she went to prison. About, you know, sucking on the bars, they painted little cocks on them, which I thought was very funny. But yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, it's doesn't quite work for her. But no, I mean, you know, Quantum Break coming out eventually, good. You know, I don't know what else we've got here. We are, yeah, some alien stuff. This is from Kotaku. Alien Isolation's worst best aspect is the unpredictable alien. Now I saw this, and this actually made me sort of happy with what's going on with this game. This is one thing I noticed playing. This is from the guy who wrote this. Playing the Alien Isolation was its unpredictability. Multiple replays showed the alien and other characters never did the same thing twice, which is entirely the point, explains the creative lead Alistair Hope. We realised early on that if you could learn up to its behaviour, then it would stop being scary. Explains Hope. Hopefully you won't see any patterns, because there aren't any. In my case, that meant a few tense replays of a corridor section patrolled by looters while the alien was somewhere that never played out the same way twice. Which is good, because that was one of my worries as well. Because if you know something's going to happen, it becomes less scary. Which is sort of, you know, several playthroughs of Dead Space, and it wasn't as scary as it was, because, you know, you knew when the big tentacle thing was going to try and grab you when you went down the hallway. You knew all the airport where all the, you know, the xenomorphs were going to pop out of the woodwork to try and come and get you. But yeah, I said, I died 3 or 4 times in the same stretch of corridor. Hard to tell whether it needs better balancing or I just rushed from the demo time constraints. But it gave me an interesting perspective as I watched different hells break loose from the same locker, locker hiding place. Something else happened every time. The alien ran left, people ran right. There was screaming that I couldn't see. A man was picked up and his face bitten off in front of me. Now, if we can see how gory that is, I will be very happy. You know, because I would say that's one of the things we're missing from the games these days. I want proper gore. I want to see head crunching. I'm looking forward to Doom. It's like, I want to see blood and guts and all sorts of shit. I mean, the sort of, you know, sort of stuff we got with Dead Space, with, you know, the bloke cutting his own throat open, which was hilarious. But yeah, I want to see that sort of, you know, that sort of scary stuff. But yeah, I mean, this article goes on, because I've got plenty of stuff to talk about how, you know, sort of unpredictability of how the game's going to play out with the alien. And I mean, because it is only one alien, but there are other people. I want to see that. I don't want to see the same thing twice. I want to see... I mean, most games should be aiming for this these days. That they should be trying to do, you know... they should be trying to do stuff that make it better, you know, keep us entertained, keep us on our toes. I don't know. But yeah, I say I'll move on to some Destiny stuff. This is also from Kotaku. The Destiny soundtrack is so good, it's distracting. Sometimes video games music is so good that you won't stop playing and just sit there enjoying it. That's definitely happened to me a few times while playing the Destiny beta. While you're cruising in your ship, killing time before setting off on another quest, the game's orchestral score will start to play in the background. It's lovely. He says, I like this track in particular, an anthem that gets you... an anthem that gets so epic it almost makes me laugh. It's the West Wing meets John Williams. It's somehow even better with the low rumble of the ship in the background. This is the basic sort of loading screen. And yeah, I mean, I've noticed this as well, how good, I mean, to be honest, it's Bungie. They do some really good stuff with their you know, with the orchestral score. And, you know, I'm a big classical music fan. You know, I love the sound of it, you know, that sort of stuff. I've got a whole fucking load of classical music on my iPod. Yeah, it's just, I went ahead and cut together the scenes in the beta. Basically, it's got a video there to watch. But the piece of music from the first video plays during the cutscene at 8:23. But this is all sort of a semi-bullshit article. But yeah, Destiny, as good as the game is going to be, it's going to have a really good soundtrack to play alongside it. But yeah, I can't wait. I can't really wait. I mean, I'm so looking forward to this. I need to book the time off work so I can sit at home and play, you know, play this with Royce and Jack from Talk Radio Meltdown, because I know he's playing it, and Derek as well, and yeah, a whole bunch of people. Here you are, from GameSpot. The Evil Within is coming sooner than we thought. Resident Evil creator's next horror game changes its release date once again. Horror game The Evil Within has moved its release date once again, but it's if you're eager to play the change, the change is in your favour this time. Previously set to launch on October 21st, the new release date is October 14th, basically a week ahead, according to the game's official Twitter account. The Evil Within was originally scheduled to launch in August for the Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, PC, Xbox One, blah 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 blah, but was reportedly delayed to October to give the development team additional time to make further balance changes and refinements into the game. Developed by Resident Evil creator Shinji Mikami and his team at Tango Gameworks, The Evil Within, will be published by Fallout and Elder Scrolls publisher Bethesda Softworks. Mikami has described the game as a true return to the roots of the survival horror genre. Now, that is I'm so looking forward to playing this game. It's on my sort of Amazon wish list. I can't wait to play it. I want a proper survival horror game. I mean, the Resident Evil stuff has pretty much gone out the window. The Silent Hill games haven't been interesting in 15 years. We need something like this to come back and scare us, and, you know, we need to jump out of games. We need something that's, you know, classic to, you know, we need something that's good, really. We need something that's scary and dripping with blood and, you know, a whole bunch of stuff. But now I saw this. This actually made me wonder, because I'm sort of thinking about various things with the stuff that's going on. This is from GameSpot. Ubisoft boss not happy with the assumption that gamers only want chainsaws and bikinis. And girls in bikinis. Jade Raymond says, not all gamers are teenage boys. Even the teenage boys want more than that. Lifetime Assassin's Creed franchise sales climbs to... yeah, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, I mean... Ubisoft Toronto studio head Jade Raymond is fed up with video games that treat gamers like idiots. In a new interview with The Grid, Raymond said that games can be so much more than popular tropes. She says, I don't like the assumption that all people who play games want big chainsaws and women in bikinis. It's like, really, not all gamers are teenage boys, and even teenage boys want more than that. The interviewer said that the protagonists of many popular video games are often husky-voiced, emotionless assholes, and Raymond seemed to agree. I think, you know, totally referencing the Gears of War franchise for that. But yeah, the video game world is improving too. We're seeing more variety, she says. Grand Theft Auto has been doing a great job picking interesting main characters in recent years. Like the new immigrant underdog. There still isn't a game where you can play like an old lady. She says that's her dream. But yeah, Raymond and Ubisoft Toronto are reportedly working on Assassin's Creed Unity, which launches this year, but we don't know much about it yet. They're being assisted by Ubisoft Montreal, which is currently working on 5 projects. Also in the interview, Raymond revealed that Assassin's Creed sales have now sold 76 million copies worldwide. That's up 3 million from Ubisoft's last official tally of 73. No shit. But yeah, I mean, we do want more. For weeks and weeks and weeks, I've been saying this as well. Beef Officer says, she said, that's the first problem with this interview. You're asking a woman for her opinion. This is Let Fucking Women Design Games for Girls. Video games are the last bastion of... I can understand that. But, I mean, people saying, so that's right, coding is boring, doesn't have immediate gratification. But the thing is, though, I mean, I want more from my games. I mean, I've never been the big person who's like, okay... I mean, apart from, I think, Assassin's Creed, I was like, the whole girl-girl lesbian stuff. I was like, oh, yeah, that sounds pretty fun. But, I mean, even with the, when we got Mass Effect, it wasn't that. It was very serious action RPG. But, I mean, I'm not even sure where the hell she's getting this idea that games are like that. I mean, Chainsaw, Girls in Bikini, Lollipop Chainsaw, I'm guessing, but and Gears of War. But we want more from our games, but, I mean... I'm telling you, I want more for my games, and all the publishers and developers should be listening to this. It's like, yeah, we want more because we deserve more. We're paying a lot for these consoles, we're paying a lot for these games, and you better give us something to play on this. Otherwise, basically, we're going to stop playing your games and we stop playing these consoles. But yeah, I mean, I've got a follow up article to this as well. This was from the voice actress. Here we go. Last of Us voice actress criticizes Ubisoft's stance on female characters in Assassin's Creed Unity. Ashley Johnson, the voice of Last of Us Ellie, and you know, if you've seen, if you ever watched Recess, she was Gretchen, and if you've seen the Avengers movie, she was that sort of waitress in the cafe. I've been a big fan of hers for recent years, and she's really hot as well. Has criticized Ubisoft over the company's recent statements about the lack of playable female characters in Assassin's Creed Unity. She says, I was like, give me a fucking break. It's 2014. How many video games do you have to make to realize maybe have an option to have a female be in there? Johnson told Video Gamer in an interview, and PS Vita. By which Johnson is probably referring to Aveline de Grandpré, the female protagonist of Assassin's Creed Liberation, initially exclusive to Sony's handheld. It does make me upset, she said. There are so many female gamers, I don't know what the percentage at this is at this point, but there is a lot of females that play video games, and it would be nice to see stronger females in a game that are not just the damsel in distress, the love interest, or she's she's overly sexualized. Yeah, which is basically Tomb Raider stuff. But I'm just... I would say from what I've seen from this new Tomb Raider... what's going on here? Hang on, sorry. Bebop saying, yes, Ash, but you don't want what girls want from games, which is emasculation. There should be... the only main thing you're going to get with games that do have the female option is your RPGs, it's your Mass Effect, it's your Elder Scrolls, it's Destiny. The games that let you choose which sex you want to be when you play the game. But there should be, I agree, there should be more female-based characters in games. I mean, you know, double-headed, the coin toss, you've got, one side, you've got Uncharted, sorry, and it becomes the U. You've got Uncharted, and on the other side, you've got something like, Tomb Raider, which is basically part and parcel of the same thing, which I've said on the show, and you know what I'm talking about. I'm going to myself, I'm running out of time as it is, but there should be having more female characters in gaming. Remember Me, you've got that character. I haven't even played that, so I wouldn't really know, but my mate of mine at work's playing it, so I'll probably punch him out and steal it from him when I get the chance. But I mean, yeah, there aren't enough basically female protagonists in games these days. I mean, Last of Us, I mean, in Last of Us you could play as Ellie for a little bit of the mission near the end of the game. Roy Black and Crack saying Age of Empires 2 had Joan of Arc fighting along with the Gilles de Rais. I don't know. I never played Age of Empires 2. I had the Age of Empires games on my phone, back on my 3 phone. But yeah, I mean, there should be more female characters in games these days. I mean, I have no problem playing as a female character. You know, as long as the game's good, the story's good, the graphics are good, I couldn't give a shit who I play as. You know, I mean, how many people, you know, back in the day, Metroid, you know, Samus, before, you know, you're playing this game, oh, wow, this guy's really cool. And then suddenly you get to the end, and then basically, oh, it's a woman. You've been playing as a woman the whole time. Where, you know, as I said, where's Metroid? Where's, you know... Roy Black on Crack Sound, I can't wait for the FIFA Female Football Edition. But yeah, I mean, there has to, you know, we should be getting... I mean, I've got no problem as playing as any character. As long as the game is good and the story is there, that's all I'm worried about. Just, you know, make it nice to play, make it fun, and give me a... I mean, as I said dozens and hundreds of times on this show, I'm someone who loves a story. I mean, you know, I do play a lot of games where there's, you know, there's female characters because there's like a romance element, because, you know, I like that sort of thing. But I wouldn't mind playing as a strong female character. But you've got to make the game good enough and make me want to play it before, you know, before I actually bother to get involved with it. But yeah, hang on, let me just carry on this article. But yeah, Ashley goes on to say, she says, it did make me upset. She said that there were only female gamers. I don't know what the percentage is at this point, but there were a lot of females. Oh, no, I've already read that bit, sorry. Johnson's correct in assuming that there was a huge number of female gamers, as pointed out in a recent Reality Check episode. I've no idea what that is either. According to a study by Entertainment Software Association, out of 1.2 billion gamers worldwide... Wow, that's a hell of a lot. Wow, it's like one in seven of us across the world. 48% are female, and yeah, 48% are female, and 52% are male. So basically, what, 600 million? No, sorry, 400 million? Yeah, I mean, you know, fuck, I mean, Marie plays games, Dee plays games, Marianne plays games, my sister plays computer games, you know. Everyone plays computer games. It's not a gender specific thing anymore, and it hasn't been for ages. I mean, everyone's, you know, whether you're man or woman or whatever, you know, you're playing computer games. It's or video games or PC games or, you know, fuck, you know, it doesn't matter. A game is a game. It doesn't matter if a woman's playing World of Warcraft or she's playing solitaire. She's still playing a computer game. You know, same thing. Yeah, Roy Black on Crack's perfect example. He says, well, FIFA has the rights to all the male leagues. Pro Evolution Soccer should buy the rights to the female leagues. Yeah, I mean, I know there's loads of female. I mean, my team, West Ham, I think they've got a female team, and Arsenal, and, you know, I think they've got a female team. A whole bunch of teams out there have got female, you know, fully all women squad. You know, I mean, you look at, I mean, fuck, I should get Sean on here. I mean, he's, was it That Bird Hope? I don't know, what, fuck, no, she plays for some team in America. But yeah, I mean, it's worth a punt, to be honest. But, yeah, sorry, yeah. Ubisoft technical director James Theron said during E3 2014 that female characters were going to be included in Assassin's Creed Unity, but were scrapped because of the additional work that would have been involved, which is bullshit. Ubisoft later issued a formal statement on the matter, saying that the company recognises the valid concern about diversity in video game narrative. Developers from Ubisoft, Electronic Arts, Activision, and Paradox Entertainment have all sounded off on the issue, the best commentary yet might be from the two brilliant cosplayers above dressed in cardboard boxes. I'll post this link into the old chat so you can have a look at this image. Second, just pop that in here. There we go. Yeah, this is dressed in cardboard boxes that have the words "boobs" and "too hard to render" written on them. Yeah, basically, the photo comes from feminist frequency creator. Anita Sarkeesian, and was taken during the GamerX 2 conference, which... what the fuck is that? Let's have a look and see what that is. Yeah. It's one of the lesbian, gay, bi, transgender, half-alien breed thingies. There should be no difference between making male or female characters. I've been watching the back of Assassin's Creed characters for years. I couldn't tell the difference between a walk of a male character's walk or a female character's walk with Assassin's Creed, because they pretty much have the same, wiggle, whatever, But I don't know. I mean, I want. You've got. I mean, it's the same with anything, really. I mean, I think male characters are just easier to do because they just put them in the story that, yes, this is the brave action hero. Nathan Drake, for instance, killing the bad guys and blah, 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 But, there can be great female characters, but you've got to pick something else. And because, women are so not downtrodden in society, it's like you've got to try and find something for them to do. I mean, when I'm not gaming, I'm making my way through the whole every episode of the A-Team. And, that's a man show for, men and boys and that sort of stuff. But there's never really been anything that's been fully female that women have sort of jumped on. And it's hard to try and get something to, with some women with some sort of female focus on it. I mean, I'm just trying to think, because, I mean, as the article says, it's like, well, the female characters are basically sort of, damsel in distress. That's how they've been marked out for years. But I don't know, maybe it's just a whole lack of games that we should be getting female characters with. I mean, Roy Black on Crack, he's puts a picture of Dinah Dash where you play as a, Cookie Mama. It's just it's your 1950s stereotypical woman should be in the kitchen ideology, and it's been put into video games where you have, say, as Roy, points out, it says Dinah Dash, and I say Cookie Mama, which is a fun game, actually. It's really, really fun. There should be other stuff out there, not games that where you basically, you stereotype women as, wearing aprons and in the kitchen, and women could do anything they fucking want, and they should be in any other game, in any game they want to be. I'm just trying to think now. I mean, maybe Hitman with a female Hitman, or you play your character how you want. When it comes to sort of RPG, sort of you create your own stuff, you can be whatever you want, gender, sex, blah blah blah, whatever. But there has to be more mainstream stuff that, you want a tough action woman. And to be honest, I mean, as far as we go with that, to be honest, is Samus and Lara Croft. I can't really remember off the top of my head. I mean, yes, we have Bayonetta. She does well. But the game's okay-ish from what I've been hearing from people. I mean, I played the demo and didn't really like it and didn't bother. But, I mean, I'm thinking about now. I mean, we're getting a new... I think it's already out to us, but the new... it's not Onimusha. It's the... I can't remember what the fuck it's called. Basically, it's like there's like hundreds of soldiers and you're one character and you can sort of, use a sword... Dynasty Warriors, here we are. It's the new Dynasty Warriors game, and it's the third one or something like that. But yeah, there's like female characters in that. Trying to get some sort of centric focus game where you have a sort of a female character. It's hard. It's like, what do you get them to do? Because we have been so dominated with the whole male aspect of games these days. It's like, whatever male gamer wants to play this or that, and I mean, I'm just trying to think now. What games have I played over the years? I mean, we had I never played it, but I mean, there was supposed to be a female character in one of the Call of Duty games. I think probably the last one. But yeah, I mean, there's nothing. It would be nice to have, female characters in games that were playable and had a real focus. Whereas, I mean, as much as I love the Uncharted games, it was Chloe was one of the recent ones, and God damn it, the other one that Nate married. They were sort of not really. The reporter one was a sort of damsel in distress, but it was Chloe. She was the kick-ass sort of, you know, mercenary gun for hire sort of woman. Trying to think of games. I mean, you know, if you lot want to get in touch with the show, you know, email me. You know, I've given you all the contact details. I'll give you in a second. But yeah, let me know what your thoughts on, you know, what sort of games that could have like a sort of female character in the lead role. But it would be really nice. I'm pretty much going to wrap up the show now. I've got a whole bunch of stuff to talk to you about before I do disappear. But yeah, so if you do want to contact the show, you can Skype in. It's Antisocial Game Radio. It's all one word. Also, you email us. You know, let me know about your choices for female characters, blah, 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 you know, that sort of stuff. Email us. It's antisocialgameradio@yahoo.co.uk. Also, you can join our Facebook group, facebook.com/group/MLRGamerLobby. Also, like us on Facebook, facebook.com/antisocialgameradio. And also, you can follow us on Twitter as well, and I'll follow you back as soon as you follow me. Follow us at MLRGamerRadio. I'm literally looking forward to hearing what your thoughts on this are, and what games should have main female leads. I mean, Gears of War would be nice, to be honest. It would sort of revert from a stereotype. But, you know, get in touch with me and let me know. But don't forget, I say August 9th, we have Just Jake's in Montclair. We have 1 till 4, we have the old live event for Otto Peterson. Free admission, but we do want donations. But I say, if you're not going and you do want to donate, go to tonyurl.com/autodonation. And don't forget also, like the Facebook page, facebook.com/mershmug. We'll be giving away, we're auctioning off the mug. So basically, make sure you like that and, you know, have a look at it. It's a nice looking mug. Except for Mersh's, he's an ugly bastard. I've had a fun show tonight. I'm not exactly sure what the topic for next week will be. I haven't really thought of anything just yet. I've got a bunch of stuff knocking around. I'm only stuck on that whole female. Maybe that will be a topic. Yeah, maybe that will be a topic for next week. Yeah, that'll be a topic, right? I'm going to post this in the Facebook group later. I want to know what sort of games where we can have female protagonists. You know, what would you like to see? Or what games that did have female protagonists? You know, of course, Tomb Raider, Metroid doesn't count because, fuck it, we know all that already. But yeah, I want to know what games we get female protagonists in, and, you know, that would be great. But yeah, I say this pretty much wraps up for me the show for this week. Don't forget, coming up next is Alcohol by Volume. Don't forget, also, no Unsigned Height tonight. Johnny's got problems. But we've got Dutch and Royce coming up at, 10 o'clock, 10 till midnight. Make sure you listen to that, because that's going to be a really good show, as it usually is. And I will be back next week. Same time, same place. See you soon, people. Bye.
Everyone here at BBC Radio 4, this is Alice Arnold, hoping that you sleep well and wishing you a very good night. Good night.
The area forecast for the next 24 hours. Viking north at Sierra, south at Sierra, south or southwest, or northwest, or northeast or east. Occasional rain, wintry showers, occasional rain, rain or showers, occasional rain, moderate or poor.